Let's get Eddie in. Let's get Jovalcop into the Hall of Fame. What do you think, Eddie? What do you think? You're ready? You ready to? You got your speech ready?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, big day coming up for a handful of individuals.
Well, let's dive into it here right out of the gate. Jerome McGinley seems to be the one shoe-in, I think we can all assume. I think back to, you know, you and Iggy played on that Salt Lake team. What comes up in mind when you think of Jerome McGinley?
Just class. You see him, obviously, his resume, you know, what he's done on the ice is spectacular. But, you know, even better guy off the ice. Really kind of, really low-key. I don't remember him saying, a whole lot, but, being younger in that dressing room, especially in Salt Lake, young guys really didn't say much, but it was a pleasure to be around. You see kind of, what he's done for Calgary, being the star he was, but I think you're right, and I listened to you guys a little bit earlier. I think he's the one guy that's your lock right here, and deservingly so.
Well, okay, we'll keep that. Well, with that, is there a moment, like, I think back to, you guys had that skate, I think it was in the fall of 2001 in Calgary, where they kind of had like an Olympic hockey orientation. You were part of that, right? If I'm not mistaken. But I remember, yep, Jerome kind of being a late addition to that, and him kind of looking around, man, just wide-eyed with, there's the Sakics and the Eisermans and all the rock stars, and Gretzky was the executive director. And, you were kind of one of the young guys at that point too. But, all the guys kind of, Jerome was kind of that, wow, I'm just happy to be here. And for him to essentially be kind of one of the co-faces eventually of Hockey Canada, like, is there a moment that comes to mind at all with Jerome in terms of your time together? Maybe a moment playing against him or playing with him.
Well, as far as the Olympics, you said it. We're young guys coming in that situation, and so you're right. You're happy to be there and try to contribute any way you can, but. You look at his international kind of days with Canada, won at all levels, I believe, with the World Juniors, World Champs, World Cup, and the Olympics. So, you got Ryan Smith, who's, Captain Canada. I think Iggy's had a, pretty decorated international experience for our country. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's just... good things happen to good people, and everything Iggy's gotten throughout his career, he's worked hard for it. Because you look at the way he played, and it didn't matter the situation in a game. You wanted to fight, he'd fight. I remember I was playing in Phoenix, and he was driving the net, and we were having a chop fest as he was driving the net, and boom, we dropped the gloves. I took my helmet off because I was sick of punching helmets throughout my career, so. Iggy took his helmet off, and we had a great fight, and tapped each other on the pads after and back at it. But yeah, he was a true competitor. He can score goals, obviously, 600 goal club, so he was kind of the full package. And like I said earlier, even better person. I mean, really approachable guy. I haven't played with him for a full season, but just a short, stint that I did play with him, he was a pleasure to be around.
Eddie, after a scrap like that in Phoenix, and you both, respect, do you sit around and did you have a little chat afterwards in the game in the hallways? I'm always fascinated by that.
Well, I don't think that night, but it does happen for sure. I mean, kind of laugh it off, walk by each other, sometimes being on the road. Going out for a beer and running into some home players there, and it could be the guy you fought that night. By the end of the night, you'd be buying each other a drink. So that's just the kind of mentality for the most part of you're doing your job in the heat of the battle. You get into a fight, but it kind of ends there, and kind of move forward. So,
well, we all agree Iggy's a no-brainer that we'll hear. tell me right. why Marian Hossa should be in. And I know, hey, so much respect for these guys to actually be in a Hall of Fame conversation. But to me, it's Iggy. And then was Marian Hossa a guy that you always worried about when you played against?
He was like, Marian Hossa was one of those guys where, you know, on the board, when you see the lines and you see the players and you see coaches focus on one guy, I don't remember Marian Hossa being the focal point of, you know, the lineup. You know, he was there, be careful of him, be weary of him. You know, at the end of the night, the guy will destroy you. You know, he was kind of that sleeper guy, and you look at I was looking up his totals today. I mean, 500 goals. I mean, the guy's he's a playoff performer, you know, with 150 playoff points in a couple hundred games. Well-decorated internationally, too, with the four Olympics. He's played 8 World Championships, World Cup. He's a 3-time Cup winner. So the resume's there. And if you're going to ask me kind of out of that list, I'm going to go with Hossa. I think, you know, you look at his career kind of going through. It's pretty spectacular. So, I mean, did you guys think that those numbers were there? I mean, just thinking of kind of the guys that are up for the Hall, Marian Hossa was, you know, not someone that kind of came to the forefront in my
mind. That's a tricky one because Hossa is that guy that, you know, I think, like you said, like was he the best player on his team at any point? I don't know if you look at the teams that he played on. I mean, you know, in his later years playing with Chicago, you would have looked at Taves and Kane, and you would have looked at Duncan Keith as being the leaders there. Maybe in that window with Atlanta, he'd have been the best player. But, you know, with the Senators, I think you probably would have looked at – it was almost like a committee, right? You would have looked at right. You would have looked at Yashin for a bit. You would have looked at Daniel Alfredson. You would have looked at, you know, Zdeno Chara, you know, Jason Spezza for periods, but at the same time, man, he won, right? And he produced, like, right. The numbers, I think the numbers are there, the cups are there, like, he kind of checks all the boxes in terms of what he accomplished. 500 goals, 3 Stanley Cups, you know, again,
no,
not necessarily a top 5 player, but he was good.
Right, he had a great supporting cast, and I think, you know, a lot of the players that, you know, get into the Hall, I mean, there's a couple guys around him, you know, that, you know, are a big part of their success. You know, you look at Chicago, they've had some great players, you know, future Hall of Famers as well, you know, on those teams that won cups. But I still, you can't discount kind of, you know, the numbers, what he does. He's a champion, he's won, and, you know, the bigger number, you know, is the playoff performance that he, you know, that he put in. And, you know, but you're
here
right.
Would be my here's my argument, guys. Like, the numbers are the numbers. Man, if you're the fifth member of a really good band, you get to go on tour and play in front of 70,000 people, but you may not be the guy to go to see. Eddie, and if you're telling me in your long NHL career you can't remember Hossa's name really being circled on the whiteboard an hour before the game going, guys, watch him. To me, I'm going, well, if he wasn't the player that the opposition was really concerned about, although he put up numbers, is he a guy that should be going into the Hall of Fame? And that's where I have a debate, because I can't remember going, oh, this is going to be awesome tonight to go watch the Blackhawks. I can't wait to focus on Marian Hossa. Like, that's where I have the difficulty. The numbers say one thing, but was he that good?
He was good. He was that good. And you know, but you had so many other guys that you had to worry about on Chicago that, you know, it was, you know, I think a name, and I could be way off here. I don't know. I think if you poll a bunch of former players that, you know, played against him, I wouldn't think he's the guy that you're really pinpointing on that chalkboard saying, listen, this is the guy, you know, you really be weary of tonight. He was a guy that was told can beat you, you know, can do damage, but it wasn't like, here, focus on Hossa here tonight. Don't let him be the difference. And I think that's what made him so good. He was unassuming, like at times where you just, almost if he was off his game, you kind of let him sleep. You don't want to wake him up. But he was definitely a pure goal scorer. He had deceptive speed that where you're kind of neck and neck with him. he can pull away from you. And they played a great team game there in Chicago.
You guys will appreciate this. You guys will appreciate this story. I was in Europe years back after the World Hockey Championship in 2005. Actually, Eddie, you were playing in that. I think at the World Championship that year in Austria.
I was.
Yeah. And so after the tournament, I was driving up to Poland with my cameraman, and we were on our way up there. We had to drive through Slovakia, and we got to the border in Slovakia, and my passport, obviously my birth city is Ottawa, and so the border guard is kind of looking at my passport, and he's kind of giving me the stern look, you know, as most border guards, you know, not exactly smiling, looks at the passport, looks at me, and then goes, Zdeno Chara Marian Hossa.
Yeah, man, they're proud of their guys.
Yeah. Marian Hossa was that guy. What about Daniel Alfredsson then? You tell me, you went head-to-head with Alfie enough times, a former Rookie of the Year, won an Olympic gold medal in Turin in 2006. How do you view Alfie, who was essentially the face of a franchise for the better part of 15-plus years?
Yeah, it's strong, James. I think he's eventually going to get there. It's not this year. He's a future Hall of Famer. I don't know. When it comes down to, you know, leaving Iggy kind of as that lock, you know, I mean, there's a few guys, too. I mean, I really like, you know, Almo, what he's done in throughout his career. And you look at my good buddy, yeah, JR, what he's done. You know, so, the list kind of goes on. If you're asking me to pick a couple guys today, I'm going with, you know, Iggy and Holmes. But Alfie's well-deserved, too.
Yeah, I think it's someday he gets in. I'm going with the All-Swedish Hall of Fame next year, Alfie and the Twins.
Well,
goal.
Jager will be eligible
next
year, too.
That's right, Danny and Hank.
Yeah, and Jager's available next year, too, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing. I think we always feel forced that we better have at least three or four people going in when, you know, the only thing we can agree on is a Ginla. And so maybe you throw a second in there, but years do come where you go, okay, Yogs has got to go on. Okay, Danny and Hank have to go in. Okay, that's done. To me, that's the Hall of Fame. You shouldn't have to really mull over a wedding list. If you're really going back and forth on the person, well, then you're not so sure that your relationship is that strong. If you're going back and forth, you're not so sure maybe they need to go into the Hall of Fame. Does it have to grow? Ed Jovanovski joins us, so he always does. Eddie, I don't know if in the lovely weather of Florida you were listening to our show a little bit earlier on when James threw Olli Juolevi under the bus at 22 saying he's washed up. Give us the professional perspective of a 22-year-old who's only been able to play 100 pro games because his body is broken down. Do you still have to have the patience and wait for him?
I think so. I think sometimes players get off to, you know, tough starts, whether it's injury or performance. I like the age where it's at. We talked about this at length many times on the maturity level of players. So I think you got to be patient, very high on him, and I think you kind of let things how they unfold. But you know that time I think is, you know, not far away from really seeing kind of going a different direction. And you know what? Just because I lived it here in Florida, 3.5 years into my rookie contract, I get moved, and I'm like. God, we went to the Stanley Cup Finals my first year. It was a runner-up Rookie of the Year season, so it was a good year. Had a little bit of a drop-off in play, but not crazy drop-off. And then, you know, I was told kind of we had to make that, you know, the deal was only going to happen if you were involved in that deal. So I'm like, okay, I'm 21 years old and I'm getting traded. You know, you almost want to feel that you have something to prove to your former team. So, you know, sometimes when things happen like this, kind of a change of scenery or teams give up, this player could move on and do some really good things. So I think you got to be a little bit patient, give it a little bit more time.
Yeah, when he's 30.
No, I think Eddie or Green, by if he doesn't do anything in the next year, then you got to trade him.
Eddie, we're in our mid 40s. I mean, a 30-year-old is still young.
Yeah, you know what I mean. No, I think in the, I think as you know, players that sometimes is a little bit, you know, longer to you know, to mature. You know, it's still young in the hockey world. So, but I'm gonna be 44 on Friday, I believe. God, it's 44. Oof.
Todd Bertuzzi year, 44.
Oh my God. 44, feel like 64.
Dude, you live in Florida.
Like
how bad is it?
Because you're shooting your age at 64.
Yeah, I wish.
Brian Boyle talking. Steven Stamkos talking. The Lightning and the Aries in Florida shut down. As much as the Canucks now are saying, okay, now we're making our plans to get the guys come in here, and we expect a Hub City announcement in the next 48 hours, you get a sense from guys around Florida that they're not as sure as maybe we are in other parts of North America?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think there's some states that you know, experienced a spike in this COVID-19 numbers, and you know, me being down in Florida, yeah, you've seen that again. So now they've mandated a mask kind of in all areas. So you almost wonder kind of which direction this is going. I wasn't thinking that we were out of this pandemic by any means, but you can see things, you know, loosening up a little bit, and now you got to pull it back a little bit again. So as far as the players, I haven't talked to anyone in the last week or so. So I don't know what their plans are, but from what I've heard is that there's players continue skating.
Yeah, and Jim Benning suggesting in an article with Ian McIntyre on Sportsnet.ca that he hopes that his expectations that a lot of Canucks will find their way here in the next week or so as we get a little more clarity on what the hub cities will look like in the National Hockey League. They're down to six. Vancouver's still very much in that mix. Eddie, nice to catch up as always, man. Nice to talk some hockey. The debate, I feel like we could always use maybe a six-pack the next time we have this debate with when it comes to debating the Hockey Hall
right.
of Fame. But, and you take care out there, man.
Baseball's coming back. Woo-hoo!
Oh, yeah. Let's get some units going on that, right?
Get your units ready.
The best thing about baseball starting, it's 60 games.
Yeah.
60
exactly.
games, a nice
Everybody's
little sprint.
In it.
And then, yeah, it's right. You have a hot start, you get into it, and then I love playoff baseball. So, hey, listen, it's get the players and both sides on the right track. It looked a little grim there for a while, so it's good to see both sides figuring it out.
60 games, perfect schedule length for Sammy Salo.
Hey, that's a perfect length for me towards the end of my career, too. Perfect.
60 games.
Hey, have a happy birthday, buddy. Enjoy your week.
All right, guys, take care.